We're sharing stories from the Fruitvale neighborhood in Oakland. One of the organizations with deep history in the Fruitvale is the Unity Council. Founded in 1964 to provide support to families in the neighborhood, the center has expanded into a national model for community development, spearheading the creation of the Fruitvale Transit Village and growing to work with about 12,000 low to moderate income clients a year.
We now have services as far-reaching as Solano County, and we actually are continuing to expand beyond, but the Fruitvale will remain always our headquarters and our base.
Gilda Gonzalez is the CEO of the Unity Council. I asked her to talk about the history of the council.
We're so very proud that we kept our heart. The same heart that called this group together in 1964 is what inspires me on a daily basis to come to work, and as well as my staff. We're here because of service, and are continue to be inspired by that. The issues that we still face, I think, are interesting, and they are evolving. The demographic shift unto itself have necessitated for the voice of Latinos to increase, and underserved communities, I'll just say that in general, to advocate for more parity, because the inequity between services are increasing. In addition to not only our demographic shift, all the cutbacks that are being faced at the local, regional, state, and federal level, I mean, the penny is shrinking by the day, and the demand is not shrinking. And so we see that on a daily basis.
So when you talk about inequities, can you be specific for us?
Sure. So, for instance, in our neighborhood, we are facing roughly about a 50% dropout rate. And so for us, that feels like an inequity to us in terms of what is the condition of our schools, our neighborhood, our economic development factors that lead young people. And by and large, I'm talking about late middle school, high school, young people leaving. And what are the factors that are impacting that? And so when you start peeling back the onion, you start seeing, oh, well, a family needs that young man or young woman to help, you know, pay the bill. So they're working, or they need something else that doesn't allow that young person to continue their education. And so that unto itself is inequity, in that our young people don't have an equal chance as others to finish a basic high school education and look at a brighter future. Even police services. Out of the three police areas in the city of Oakland, Fruitvale sits in Area 2. We are the lowest in terms of dedicated resources to this police area. And so we fight and always are arguing against that disparity, and we are constantly told that the crime stats reflect a higher activity in Area 1 and 3, and therefore they get more resources. But for us, we know that historically our neighborhood is underreporting and other issues that impact that, because we have possibly mixed citizen status and other issues that people are almost intimidated or frightened to report crime. So we don't really accept the statistics per se, but that from our experiences in living and working in this neighborhood, we know that we need to have a better allocation of services and support to our neighborhood. So those are just two examples of what I'm saying about why the need for an organization of ours is just as relevant as it was in 1964.
And you mentioned budget cuts and sort of the shrinking penny, and that's more true today than it was even a year ago, right? So how are you dealing with that?
So we've been very successful at leveraging every dollar that we get. And whatever dollar we get, whether it be private, corporate, foundation, or government, we then turn around and are able to leverage that. We've been very successful at demonstrating a record of producing results. And so when we go forward and say, listen, we've received this much to create jobs for young people, people have a level of confidence in that, one, we know what we're doing and we have a good basis for why we're asking for what we're asking for. And so that is critical. And I think that when you do this kind of work, it isn't enough just to want to do good. You really have to have good practices of your organization and really build up your organization to be a very transparent and ethical organization. And I am very proud of what we've built here because we really are committed to the results.
So speaking of what you've built, one of the big hallmarks of the Unity Council is the Fruitvale Transit Village. So can you explain what that is and kind of it went through a little bit of a rocky period and now seems to be at full capacity and doing really well. And it's kind of a national model, right?
Thank you. Yes. Well, essentially, I was handed the keys in January 2005.
And let me let everybody know that Gilda took over as CEO of the Unity Council. And we're speaking with Gilda Gonzalez, who took over as head of the Unity Council, CEO of the Unity Council in 2004.
So everybody loves the ribbon cutting, which happened in 2004. But the village did not get complete until 2009. And that we actually really should have had a new ribbon cutting celebration because it was, as you said, 100% occupied on our residential. And also this year was 100% occupied on our retail and commercial. So it is an amazing story. And we did it. Most of these projects are done by big corporations or bigger entities than ourselves, but we did it. And I always tell people who come for tours that we were the underdog in all of this, but we had big dreams. And more importantly, our commitment to this project was unshakable in that this was our home and we were not going to fail. And that was just a tacit truth that we accepted and operated under. So I caution people when they say, oh, we want one. I always tell them, listen, you've got to have everything in it because there are going to be the dark years. And it is only that commitment and love that will get you through those. And we certainly are a testament to that.
That's Gilda Gonzalez. She is the CEO of the Unity Council. I'm Holly Cronin. You're listening to Cross Currents, and we're talking about the Unity Council's history here in the Fruitvale. And what are some of the actions that you take? What are, just specifically, what are some of the things, the ways that you're serving this community?
We run a very extensive Head Start and Early Head Start program. And as of this year, we're serving 640 children, and that is pretty significant. So, and along with that 640 children is families. And part of our services are training leadership to the parents so they can be even better citizens in their community. We also are talking about our workforce development efforts where we run a one-stop career center downstairs in one of our buildings. And we're serving clients. When I started, we were only serving 400 clients. This year alone, we're going to be serving almost 2,500 clients. And in our home ownership center, we have several components of that. We do financial fitness. We do a first-time homebuyer programs. And we do foreclosure counseling. Obviously, that's unfortunate that number has grown tremendously, but we like to focus on the other two pieces of that, which is financial fitness and really building and shifting the conversation. And even for people who are low income, to really talk about how to be debt free and to create financial freedom for themselves and their family, and then prepare themselves if home ownership is an option, how to do that in a very sane and methodical manner.
Yeah, well, and you've got a lot of predatory lending, so-called predatory lending, the subprime market that really targeted a lot of Spanish-speaking people and Black and Latino communities specifically.
Absolutely. People didn't know what they were signing. And our mantra here is if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. And we try to educate people. And sometimes, unfortunately, the truth is difficult. And we are committed to the truth. And we are the first to tell clients, that they are not ready for homeownership. And sometimes that's not what they want to hear from us. But there's certainly, as you said, enough predators out there who don't care about the truth and will sell them the home in spite of our best advice.
And you mentioned that maybe the issues that you're dealing with are greater now than when the Unity Council was founded in 1964. So that could get somebody kind of depressed. Wow, after the civil rights movement, things are we're still grappling with some of the many of the same issues in many ways deeper budget cuts to social services, et cetera. What in that context, what gives you optimism?
What gives me optimism is that the Unity Council continues to stand, and it stands in a really great place. And regardless of what we are thrown, continued declining economy, tensions out in the street, that I know that we are here for our community. We're a safe haven. We're a safety net. We are advocates. And so as long as I know the Unity Council is here, I know it'll never get that bad.